Amen. Thank you, choir and orchestra, for leading us in worship this morning. What a great, great job you did. And we appreciate each of you so much. Wasn't it great to see little Lauren up here singing as well? What a beautiful little girl. Absolutely. I'm so grateful to be with you this morning. I'm grateful for Dr. May giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. And speaking on behalf of my family, Denise and Aaron, we love our pastor. We love our pastor and Miss Delane, and we have just really grown to love and appreciate them so much. And we're just so glad to be here and to be among a great people that he has pastored so well these many years. And so thank you for being a great church that you are. And the music this morning has just been great. I want to say a shout out to the praise band over on the other side. They do a great job every week with leading us in worship. And I'm so thankful for those who do a great job of preparing each week. And the music over there is just tremendous. And we are grateful for them. If you have your Bible this morning, open it with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. As you're turning there, I just want to do a Go Dawgs introduction today. I'm looking around today, and I just wanted to share with you that Georgia did win last night, because I'm sure none of you watched the game. So I just wanted you to know that they did win. And those of you who are Clemson Tiger fans, they won last night as well. So they have won the ACC, as Georgia has won the SEC. So congratulations to all of you. But you know what? The greatest victory of all is victory in Jesus. And so we're here this morning to focus our thoughts and our minds upon the Lord Jesus. And this morning we're going to look together at Matthew chapter 28. And I want to share with you this morning that God has put an entire world upon his heart. It's not his will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the world needs Jesus. The world needs the gospel. And whether you are for or against a political red wave in our country, I think we can all agree that our nation needs a crimson wave of the gospel today more than ever. America needs revival and a spiritual awakening. Listen, the kingdom of God is not going to come riding in on Air Force One. There are no politicians who can fix America's troubles. No politician can deal with our most fundamental problem, and that's sin. Sin. Our world is a mess. Listen, we are where we are because we are what we are. We are flawed, broken sinners apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world needs the gospel. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Listen, our greatest difficulty in following the Lord comes at the point of having to make life changes or life adjustments. You know, we're okay with a Jesus who loves us, but we're not so okay with a Jesus who is Lord over us. Many of us want God to speak to us and give us a ministry assignment we feel comfortable with. And many of us are not interested in making major life adjustments in our lives. But listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, that simply is not possible. And listen, a lot of professing Christians will tell you they desire to hear a word from the Lord, but they have no intentions of obeying what he says. You know, every time God spoke to the people in the scriptures about something he wanted to accomplish in them and through them, major adjustments had to be made for them to obey his commands. Noah, for example, could not continue life as usual and build the ark at the same time. Abram could not stay in his native town of Haran and father a nation at the same time. Moses could not remain on the backside of the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh at the same time. Jonah had to leave his home and overcome significant prejudice in his life to preach in Nineveh. Peter, James, and John all had to leave behind family and friends and a secure profession to follow Jesus. So here's what I'm telling you. We cannot stay where we are and follow Jesus at the same time. In our text this morning, we're going to look intensely at the heart of God. Yeah, I realize this morning that probably all of us in this room today have heard many, many sermons from Matthew 28. We can probably quote it backwards and forwards. But it's my prayer this morning that as we share from this text today, that God would open our eyes to His truth and what He desires for you and me. I pray that God will give us fresh eyes and receptive hearts to His Word. So listen as we read this morning from our text, Matthew 28. We're going to be reading together verses 18 to 20. Our text says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Would you join me as we pray? Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your commandment to go and to make disciples. Lord, this morning how I pray that your precious Holy Spirit will speak deeply into our hearts and lives. May we drink deeply from the fountains of your truth. And Lord, may we never be the same again, because this morning we had a fresh encounter with the Lord of glory. So Lord, we pray this morning for a fresh invasion of your Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you do what only you can do, and that's to change lives. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, amen, amen. From our text this morning, we find three things that we need to do as God's people to reach the nations together. And that is God's desire, that you and I reach the nations. So let's look at the first thing. First, we need to be convinced of the full authority of Jesus Christ. We need to be convinced of the full authority of Jesus Christ. The Lord set before his disciples a vision of his limitless power. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now the word translated power here is exousia. I know you're impressed with Greek, and I know just enough of it to be dangerous. But listen, this word refers to authority or delegated power along with the right to use it. Now, in this context, neither the word power nor authority is an adequate translation. But as the Lord Jesus uses the word in this context, it literally means this. Listen, all the right of absolute authority and all the resources of absolute power. So you're sitting there thinking, Richard, what exactly does that mean? It means this. Jesus is the supreme authority over everything. He is Lord. Jesus Christ wields absolute authority in heaven. Cherubim and seraphim, thrones and dominions, angels and elders, and all the living creatures from highest to lowest gladly bow before his throne in worship day and night. They exalt him. Their words are, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." Jesus is the supreme authority over heaven. But Jesus is also fully authoritative over the spirit world. He is authoritative over the principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this old godless world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Demons may hiss with glee over the chaos and the carnage they have created in our world, but they will certainly bow before the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, there is coming a day when Jesus Christ will say, "Stop! and it will end because Jesus is fully authoritative. Jesus is also authoritative over the world as well. Kings and kingdoms rise and fall, but nothing happens on earth outside his permissive will. Being limited in our understanding, we may have difficulty understanding why there's so much chaos and disorder in our world, and we may grow discouraged at what appears to be the triumph of evil. But let me tell you something, evil will not have the last word. Evil will not have the last word. One day the kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That day is coming when Christ comes again. Hell will be vanquished and Christ will reign supreme over the nations. Make no mistake, friends, what a glorious future you and I have to look forward to. So listen, when you wake up each morning, you can rest assured that Jesus has never surrendered his sovereignty to anything or anyone. Jesus was and always will be fully authoritative. Listen, Jesus is Lord. Say that with me. Jesus is Lord. Y'all don't sound convinced. Jesus is Lord, and he is fully authoritative over heaven and earth. So be convinced this morning of the full authority of Jesus. But secondly, this morning, our text teaches us that we should be committed to follow the commands of Jesus. In verses 19 and 20, notice our Lord's clear instructions for his disciples. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now notice the word "therefore." Someone has well said that whenever you find the word "therefore" in Scripture, you need to stop and ask yourself the question, what is this "therefore" there for? That's just good homiletics. That is good Bible study. But this, therefore, links our authority to take the good news to the nations to his authority as Lord of heaven and earth. So listen, the great I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has given you and me the authority to invade the nations of all mankind with the saving gospel of Christ. So our authority could not come from a higher source than the Lord Jesus. So yes, the unbelieving world may not like it. The unbelieving world may resist it. The unbelieving world may reject it. But listen, we still have a mandate to do so. Satan holds the nations in darkness. Millions of people are blinded by communism, by humanism, by Buddhism, by Hinduism, by Islam, and the false cults today. Also modern apostate Christianity, such as wokeism. All of those are isms that will one day be wasms. Jesus is Lord. So what's the Lord's commands for us? I want us to look closely this morning at some directives that the Lord gives each of us. Number one is go. Go. What a timely message that is for the church today. You know, we've made church a spectator sport here in America. We come to church and we expect to observe the professional worship leaders up here on the platform to do their thing. And we sit there and we just kind of judge their performance and whether or not they made me feel good. And, you know, if not, I'm going to try out the church down the street. That's where we are. We've turned church into a spectator sport. But church was never intended to be a spectator sport. It's intended to be a place where all of us participate as a team to take the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Listen, following Jesus implies movement. It means we must go. All of us have a responsibility to make Jesus known. But notice something important. In our text here, the Greek verb translated go is actually not a command, but a present participle, simply meaning as you are going. In your regular routines of life, as you are going, wherever you are, you're to be a mouthpiece for Jesus Christ. You're to make him known. Listen. You became a missionary the very day you were born again. Jumping on an airplane or even crawling on a bus does not make you a missionary any more than walking into a McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. Amen? But you became a missionary the very day you were saved, and God has called and commissioned you and me to make him known to a lost and dying world. If it's not us, then who? All of us have a responsibility to proclaim. Now stop and think about your sphere of influence. Maybe it's in your own home, in your neighborhood, in your community, at work. Maybe it's at school, young people. God has called you to take the gospel to the people around you who desperately need to hear about the Lord Jesus. So can I ask you something? How's it going? Have you been a faithful steward of the gospel of Christ? Now listen, I'm not asking that question to impose any kind of guilt. My reason for asking the question this morning is to motivate you and me to step it up and to be found faithful with the most precious commodity in the world. It's the gospel of Jesus. Listen, SEC championships and national championships pale in comparison to the richness, the glory, and the majesty of the gospel of Christ. Oh, may we find ourselves more excited and more enthusiastic about what really matters in life. It's going and helping people miss hell and make heaven by sharing with them the good news of Jesus. But notice this morning the second directive, not only the word go, but Jesus said go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples. Listen, that is the very heart of the Great Commission. Make disciples. So the question is, well, Brother Richard, what exactly is a disciple? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, I think we find an excellent illustration of what discipleship is. Look with me in Matthew 4, 19. The text says, and he said to them, that he being Jesus, said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, circle that word. Immediately they left their boat and their father and they followed him. So here we find a description of what a disciple truly is. First of all, a disciple follows Jesus. A disciple follows Jesus. A disciple is someone who has enrolled in the school of Jesus by calling upon him to save them. They've been born again by the Spirit of God. A disciple, listen, has no agenda except the agenda of his or her master. And so throughout the book of Matthew, we find that Jesus repeatedly called people to follow him. And there's several instances where Jesus did so, but over and over, Jesus told those he met in Scripture to follow him. And this morning, the invitation still stands. Jesus is calling you, sir, and you, ma'am, you, young person, to follow him from wherever you are. Whatever skills or talents or abilities you have or don't have, doesn't matter. Jesus is inviting you to put it all down and follow him. The Master calls. And this is what he commands us to do today. Listen, notice that verse 20 tells us that these men immediately left their nets and followed him. They were willing to leave behind their families. They were willing to leave behind their livelihoods and their comfort zones in order to follow Jesus. So listen, Jesus never said that following him would be easy. Never. And so that's the reason Jesus said in Luke 9:23 that we must take up our cross daily and follow him. Lottie Moon was a Southern Baptist missionary who answered the call to foreign missions in 1873. Listen, Lottie Moon, she was only 4 feet 3 inches tall, but she had the passion of a runaway freight train. She was 4 feet 3 inches of Holy Ghost anointed dynamite. This woman was all in for the Lord Jesus. Listen, after hearing a sermon on missions as an 18-year-old girl at the First Baptist Church of Cartersville, Georgia, she spent that afternoon in her bedroom, which still exists, by the way, over in Cartersville. She went and spent the afternoon praying about God's call upon her life to missions. And in 1873, the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention commissioned this young lady known as Charlotte Diggs Moon, affectionately known as Lottie, as a missionary. And as she was about to set sail from San Francisco to China, Lottie Moon got word that the Baptist women in Cartersville would support her financially. There was no cooperative program back in that day. That didn't start until 1925. And certainly there was no Lottie Moon Christmas offering. All Lottie Moon knew was the call of God on her life. Financing was not an issue for her. She knew that the Lord had called her to take up her cross and follow. And she did. And she went to China to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Following Jesus involves change. Listen, following Jesus involves growth. And I'm here to tell you, following Jesus can involve some pain and discomfort along the way. But I'm here to tell you, it also includes joy, does it not? Following Christ also includes fulfillment in life. Can I get an amen to that? I cannot imagine not serving the Lord. But as we do so, we go with his blessing. Jesus said, "Follow me." And that's exactly what Lottie Moon did. You and I must answer the call as well. But notice also that a disciple is being changed by Jesus. In verse 19, our text says, "Follow me and I will make you." I will make you. This is speaking of the Lord's transforming work in our lives. And so every day the Lord is at work in our lives, conforming us to his image and shaping our lives for his glory. I said a moment ago, you cannot stay where you are and follow Jesus, but it's also true, you cannot stay where you are and follow Jesus, and you cannot stay what you are if you're following Christ. There's going to be change because the Lord is at work in your life. His desires become our desires. The things that he loves, we love. The things that he is repulsed by, we are repulsed by. He is the teacher, and we are the students. But thirdly, I want you to notice that a disciple is committed to the mission of Jesus. In verse 19, Jesus said, "I will make you what? Fishers of men." Fishers of men. Listen, Jesus changes us to make us like him. He gives us a compassion for the lost. He instills within us a passion for sharing the gospel with the lost. He stokes the fires of missions and evangelism in our hearts. And that's precisely what he did for Lottie Moon. As a young follower of Christ, she heard the appeal to missions and she could not ignore it. She chose to take up her cross and follow Christ. We must do the same. But also this morning, I want us to look back at our text in Matthew 28, and I want us to notice in verse 19 the scope of our disciple making. The scope of our disciple making. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples." Where? Of all the nations. Listen, the work of reaching the nations is still far from complete. There's still work to be done. And the work of global missions continues and is more urgent than ever. So listen, we're never going to reach the nations by staying at home. We must go and we must proclaim the gospel. The need for making disciples has never been more urgent. Oh, listen, I love the book of Revelation. I love that book of Revelation. Now, I know a lot of people get freaked out by it. They get all hung up on the imagery of Revelation. They think of all the creatures that are described there with 12 heads and 47 eyeballs and stuff like that. But listen, that is not the point of Revelation. The point of Revelation is simply this. Get this. The point of Revelation is Jesus wins. That's the message. We win. But in chapter 5 of Revelation, we find a beautiful scene. In verse 9, we find the four living creatures and the 24 elders falling down before the Lamb of God, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Y'all ever stopped to think about that before? Your prayers are so precious to God, He keeps them in golden bowls. Your prayers matter. But listen, what are these living creatures doing? They're singing a new song. And they're singing, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation." The question is, how will they get there? They will get there the same way you and I will get there, through repentance of sin and faith alone in Jesus Christ. These people will get there because someone went to them and shared the gospel with them. Maybe it was at the office. Maybe it was at school. Maybe it was on a mission trip. Maybe it was sending a shoebox somewhere around the world. But because of your obedience to give, and because of your obedience to go and to share, someone is going to miss hell and make heaven. That's the imagery here found in Revelation 5. And what a day it will be when we're in heaven one day and we're introduced to that little child we taught in Sunday school who received Christ as Lord and Savior. That little child who received a shoebox. That witness that you proclaimed on your school campus. And we see them and we embrace them because they're there because of your faithfulness. They come to you and say, "Thank you for sharing the message of Christ with me. I'm here today because of you." What a glory that will be. That's the mission before us, beloved. There's people out there who are hungry for the truth. Not all will receive it. Oh, but friends, listen, there is a sea of humanity out there who is hungry for the truth of the gospel, and we must proclaim it. You know, secondly, this morning, I want you to see the task of disciple making. Jesus said that we're to teach them to obey. We're to teach them to obey. The goal of Christian teaching, listen, is not to make smarter sinners. The goal of Christian teaching is to teach people to obey this book. If you're a Sunday school teacher, listen, your objective is not to make smarter sinners. Your objective is to lead people to obey the Word of God. And that's true of all of us. We are to equip and train people to be obedient to the Scripture. But notice also this morning the mark of a disciple. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The mark of a disciple is baptism. Now listen, baptism does not save you. Baptism does not make you more saved. But baptism is an act of obedience after you're saved. It is a picture of an inward reality. So my question to you this morning is, have you been scripturally baptized since you were saved? It could be that you've been a believer for years, but you have never followed through with believer's baptism. Listen, you're walking in disobedience to the Lord. So let me encourage you today, in just a few moments, as we extend our invitation, to come and share your need to be scripturally baptized and get that in order and do it today. But lastly, this morning, I want you to see the third thing we must do to reach the nations together, and that is we must be comforted by the faithful promise of Jesus. The final words of Jesus to his disciples on the Mount of Olives were no doubt the most intimate, as they should be, and there's intimate with us as well. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus said, "I am with you. I am with you." Listen, Jesus sent his disciples with a mission to fulfill, but he did not send them alone. He promised his presence. His presence means everything. As Christians, his Spirit now lives within us. So here's the good news. You are not a Motel 6. He doesn't check in and check out. You don't have to leave the light on for him. He is in you and he will remain with you. And wherever you go, wherever he sends you, he promises his presence. He will never abandon you. My D group has been reading through 2 Timothy, and just this week I was reading 2 Timothy 4, and I couldn't help but think about the life of Paul and how he was sitting in a prison cell awaiting death. And he commented about how his friends had forsaken him, but the Lord was with him. I think if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you can relate to that. When the bottom falls out in your life and your friends walk away, Jesus is still there. And he will never abandon you. You know, it was said that Lottie Moon traveled from village to village, frequently speaking from early morning till late in the evening, riding on donkeys in the heat and dust of summer or wintry rain and snow. She was in constant contact with the Chinese people, continually putting herself at risk of exposure to smallpox and other diseases. Yet she suppressed her craving for cultured life and conversation for the cause of Christ. At the time of Lottie Moon's death, she only weighed 50 pounds. Earlier in her life, as she faced loneliness, she wrote these words, "As I wander from village to village, I feel it is no idle fancy that the Master walks beside me and I hear his voice saying gently, I am with you always, even to the very end." This morning, church, the Lord Jesus bids you to take up your cross and follow him. It may mean walking across the street, or it may mean going across the world. But Jesus invites you and me to take up our cross and to follow him. This morning, our message concludes with four challenges very quickly. The first is this: we must go. We must go. It's never been more urgent than now, than we go. We must go across the street, across the state, across the nation, across the world. But secondly, this morning, we must make disciples. We must make disciples. We've started D-Life in our church just recently, and we are strategically working on developing a discipleship movement in our church that will spread out into the community and even around the globe. Denise and I are currently leading D groups now. And next Sunday evening, we're going to be having a commissioning of our discipleship groups. And we're praying that God will use them to start new groups after the first of the year. And these groups will be inviting lost people to come and study the Word of God in a small context. And we are praying that these groups will have huge kingdom impact right here in Floyd County, where there are thousands of people who are lost and undone without Jesus. We must make disciples. But thirdly, this morning, I want to say to you, we must give. We must give. You know, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year, our goal is $13,500. You know, I've got some good and bad news for you about the offering goal. The good news is that we have the $13,500. The bad news is it's still in your back pocket. And what we need you to give, we need you to do is to give to the glory of God. Every penny that you give, every penny that you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes directly to foreign missions. And it helps support our missionaries over the sea. Miss Cynthia Miller was a fellow missionary with Lottie Moon. In fact, she was with Lottie Moon when she died. Miss Miller would write following Lottie Moon's death. Here's what she said. It is infinitely touching that those who work hardest and make the most sacrifices for the Master should suffer because those in the homeland fail to give what's needed. Friends, may that not be true of us. May that not be true of us. But may we give and give sacrificially and give generously and joyfully for the gospel's advance. But lastly, this morning, we must pray. We must pray. Listen, church, we are at war with an enemy that is real, and his bullets are real. We are at war with principalities and powers in this old godless world that can only be overcome by prayer. We need to pray for our missionaries and pray a hedge of protection around them, that God would protect them and use them and bless them as they proclaim Christ. We're providing for you prayer guides this week. As you leave, I'm going to invite you to stop by the Welcome Center or the Connect Desk and pick up a prayer guide and take it home with you. And every day this week, we want to encourage you to pray for our international missions efforts. Prayer does indeed make the difference. But listen, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So church, your cross awaits you. The Lord Jesus awaits you. awaits your response. Would you join me as we pray? Father, how we thank you for your word this morning. And God, thank you that today you're still calling men, women, boys, and girls to go touch the world. You're calling your people to be sacrificial in giving and in service. And Lord, today I pray that you will help every man, woman, boy, and girl to do today what they will be glad they've done when they stand in your presence one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And listen, if you're here this morning and you're without Christ, the greatest need of your life is to be saved. And the good news is that God loves you regardless of what you've done, how many times you've done it. God loves you and he desires to save you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And so he sent his son Jesus into this world to die for your sins and rise again so that we can know eternal life with him. But you must receive him. And if you've never done so, when we stand to sing in just a moment, just simply come forward. Brother Donnie is going to be standing in the Family Life Center to receive you. And our pastor will be here. Brother Ted will be here. I will be down front as well to receive anyone who desires to be saved. But you must do it today. It's urgent that you respond to the gospel. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has spoken into your heart about stepping up your commitment to missions. Maybe it's going on a mission trip. Maybe it's just simply walking across the street to share the good news of Jesus. But today you recognize the need to ramp up your commitment to the gospel of Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've been visiting this church for a long time and you've never joined this church, but you've been thinking about it. Well, today we would love for you to come and officially unite with our church. This is a wonderful church family, and this church will love on you and encourage you and pray for you, and we would love for you to be part of the family here. So if that describes you, we invite you to come and just simply share with one of the pastors about your need to unite with our church, and we will make that happen for you today. But whatever the Spirit of God is prompting you to do today, this is his invitation, and he is calling you for a response. Will you do it? Let's stand together as we sing.